Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here as always. I hope everyone had a good Christmas. This is going up a day late. You want to know why? I know I said Thursdays last week from here on out. Do you know why I said, I forgot that Sunday was Christmas Eve and Monday was Christmas, and I wasn't doing any editing on those days. So we'll be back to Thursdays next week for sure. All right. And I'll see if we can string a bunch of Thursdays together. The episode for next week is already recorded. It's been recorded for 2 months. Hint, hint. Wonder who it could be. Someone that was in town. I got it on the back burner. We'll start off the year right with a good friend of the show. One of my favorite people. But I hope everyone had a good Christmas. I had a good Christmas. I ate everything. And now I have to recover. I have to recover from the holidays, you know? It's that December is always the toughest, I think, for most people. You know, you got Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Eve. It's a holiday extravaganza. So, I got a couple messages from the last week's pod, a couple texts, a couple messages here and there about the podcast. People enjoyed it, but, you know, here's the thing. I'm never going to have someone on the podcast and tell them they can't do something. Do you understand? I'm having someone on the podcast because I like them. I think there's something there. You know, they're funny. There's something. They got something going on. That's why I have them on. They're working hard. It's always something. I'll just say it's very difficult. Very, very difficult to do a half an hour a year and a half in. I don't doubt some people can get up and talk for a half hour. I don't doubt that whatsoever. I really don't. And maybe they can. Maybe it'll be great. But the percentages of that being great are pretty low. That's why I asked the person, do they hone? I think they're a good writer. I think they're a good comic. It's just some people are really, they want to move up so fast. You know, this is, stand-up is one of the few things you should really just enjoy the journey, dude. And I hate the word journey. I hate that word. Anytime I say the word journey, I just think of someone on a boat in the middle of the sea. You know, I think the word journey is so fucking pretentious. I hate it. But it really is about that. Like, getting better is the most fun you'll ever have. And the more you do it, the longer you do it, you'll still have fun, but it just gets harder and harder because most people don't get what they want, get where they want to be. It's just the nature of the business. And it becomes a business the longer you're in it, you know, unless you decide that you just want to be in it for certain reasons. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, whether it be just doing paid shows in Michigan, doing paid shows in the Midwest, working part-time as a comic. That's most people right now, is working part-time as a comic. So, but just enjoy it, dude. Like, don't be in such a hurry to move up so fast, you know? I mean, I was hosting a year and a half in, and I hosted for probably, I think, my feature the first time 4 years in at the Holly Hotel. Was my first feature gig was 4 years in. And I'm not saying people can't do that before then. Of course they can. But a year and a half is very hard. But, you know, again, I'm not going to have someone on and say, you can't do that. Maybe they can. I don't know. I just think it's very difficult. That's all. But people enjoyed the pod. I enjoyed having the guests on, that they were a good talk, fun. It's just everyone's in a hurry to do stuff. You know, everyone wants to do everything so quickly, you know? And that can give people the wrong impression sometimes. I don't get that impression of Skippy. I think Skippy's great. I think I think she really loves stand up, and I can hear that and feel that when I talk to her. This is a humbling thing, you know. If you're not ready to do something, you'll know. And again, I think a lot of new comics, I'm not going to say myself, I felt like I was a very self-aware person a couple years in. I was kind of a dick sometimes, apparently, but I felt like I was pretty self-aware. Like, I wasn't ready to middle a couple years in. I was in no hurry to do that whatsoever. I wanted to get a good 5 together, a good 10 together, a good 15. Work your way up 5 minutes at a time. You know what I mean? There's a difference when you're doing stand-up for a long time and, you know, you're Louis C.K. or some of these greats that put a new special out once a year or once every 2 years. Yeah, writing a half hour in an hour, a year and a half is really not, or a year, is really not probably that hard. But to hone it, especially being new, I think it is. But we'll get off that. I appreciate to have Skippy on. Thought she was awesome. I just wanted to address a few messages that I got, you know. And but people also said they enjoyed it. So, and I really enjoyed having her on. I look forward to running into her at shows. You know, she's hustling right now. I headlined a show this past Friday with Andrew Yang, and you guys know, doing this for 14 years, and I'm not comfortable headlining. But I will say this: report back. I did 45. It was my favorite 45 I've done as far as just consistency. Andrew's not gonna. He even jokingly said, "I can't wait to hear about this on the podcast." He's not gonna care that I say this, but Andrew didn't do great. I mean, he closed strong. He closed almost, one could argue, too strong, to where I was like, you just made up for the entire set. Like, he closed really strong. But I felt, you know, he struggled. He didn't feel good about it afterwards. But it was also one of those gigs on the west side of the state where you're like, it doesn't matter, man. I know you're funny. Who gives a shit, you know? Who cares about these people, you know? But in saying that, I felt like I had a good 45. And for those 45 minutes, I did care about those people. But you know what? If I didn't do well, I would say, nah, who gives a shit, you know? But I felt like it was a pretty, overall, my favorite 45 minutes, pretty consistent. Had to do a little bit of crowd work, which I hate doing, but I felt like it kind of called for it. They're a little rowdy in the front, but... and then I set the timer on my phone. I got off at like 44 minutes and something seconds. Well, you know, 45 minutes, whatever. And I still had a few jokes that I didn't do yet. And I was like, all right, I feel like this is getting better. I feel like the 45 is getting better. I just have to do it more and more and more. And then, you know, I'll push for headlining a lot more down the road. But right now, I felt pretty good about it. Fucking Andrew is a blast. Riding the car with him is always fun. He's just such a solid comic and a solid guy, you know? Andrew is like just one of my favorite people in the scene. And but man, did he bomb. I'm kidding. He did. I can't even call it a bomb because he like fucking murdered at the end. Like the last 7 minutes, he was killing. I was like, oh my God. His closer was just murdering. And so not a full bomb, you know, just, you know, it was also a gigantic banquet room and with a huge, big stage and can't really hear the laughs. And it's a cool room, but it's not like a comedy room. You can do comedy there, you know, but I had fun and I appreciated Tim Locke for having me. It was an interesting, fun show. They had a food truck right outside. It was really cool. And thanks for Andrew driving. I appreciated that. I usually like to drive. I'm a control freak kind of, but my SUV's leaking a little bit of trans oil, I think, transmission fluid. And I was like, you know what? You want to drive? I'll throw you gas money. And he was really nice to do that. So I got a couple things. I got a reel, you know. I got to do the guy, the comic that usually does my reels is a good friend of mine. And I got a reel. Apparently reels are getting more expensive. I didn't know this, you know? So I'm either thinking about putting up this reel, paying for this reel, or I'm going to not pay rent. Do I pay my rent or I pay for the reel? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. If I'm homeless, that's fine. But if I get 30,000 likes, that's pretty good. You know what I'm saying? So I don't... Everything's going up in price, dude. Everything. Holy shit, dude. I'm not complaining. I'm still going to pay for the reel. I'm going to, you know, I don't know if I'll be asking for reels until I go back to work, though. It's not in the budget. Holy shit, dude. Before we get to the guest, Jeff Sheen, everybody. Jeff Sheen, Michigan boy, Jeff Sheen, started here, came up together. Actually, you know, I think Jeff started before I did. A very funny guy. He's been mentioned on the podcast a couple times. Lives in New York now. Performs regularly at the Comedy Cellar. He's got a new Dry Bar special that just came out. Look it up. Jeff, S-C-H-E-E-N, as far as his last name is spelled. Jeff Sheen. I forgot what the special's called, but if you just type that into YouTube, his Dry Bar will come right up. One of the funniest guys to come up in the scene here. Just a great fucking original comic. So check him out. Drew Campbell is on the show today, and I like Drew so much. What a good writer. Dark guy. Just always been a funny dude. Took a break for a while. I didn't see him for a long time. Then came back, and I've run into him all the time now. And just a good, solid comic. And if you've met Drew, you like Drew. And I had a good conversation with him. And I hope you enjoy this talk with Drew Campbell.
But I'm not moving, and I'm not trying. It's so petrifying. Maybe some other time.
You tired? You good?
No, I'm good, yeah.
What did you do last night?
Let's see. Last night, that was 313 last night.
Oh, how was 313? Are you producer that then?
Yeah, I'm now producer of 313.
Isn't that?
It was fun. Yeah. It was a little tight at the beginning.
Yeah, that's a fun, it's a weird room. Like, I like it, but it can be very hit or miss, you know?
Yeah, it's very chill. I mean, I'm a producer there, so it's like, I'm there every week and I'm trying to work on new stuff every week there. Yes. So it's like, half the time it's like, this isn't like my best sets ever, like, anymore.
And you want to tell them that, even though you don't get a new crowd every week?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's the same, it's different people.
But also, you feel like you kind of feel like an asshole or whatever. Like, I don't like it when I'm on stage. I don't like to be like, hey guys, this is the new stuff. It feels like, because they don't care. Like, the crowd doesn't. It's more like you being like, hey, here's my defense.
That's
on stage.
An insecure thing. Yeah. Yeah. And well, it's also weird because it's like a show. So like, if you go to a mic and you say that, like, of course.
Exactly.
I mean? Like, of course it's new stuff.
I mean, you should be. It's weird to go to like a bar open mic and be like, I'm doing my A material right now.
Yes.
I still like doing mics, but there's something about, I think, like, because ever since I moved down here, since I started doing more clubs, I feel like you might know if I swear on this, dude.
Oh, no, no.
I've been calling myself like a club slut now, because I'm I'm so more like, I just love doing clubs so much, like even the open mics or guest spots, that now I'm like, I feel like I've gotten like spoiled. So now when I do open mics, I'm a little like grumpier about it. And it's like, I mean, I still do them, and it's not like I'm better than them. I'm not like, I'm like this headline or anything, but it's just like, I've done now consistently working clubs more. You're just like, oh God, that's like the weird thing is like, cause I avoided clubs for years.
Yeah. You're an odd guy. Cause you started in Saginaw for a while, right? Mm-hmm. It was like you and Megan Connington Heath, and that was it. And Mike Ball.
Well, I mean, like, we had some other, like, Jake Ford was out of there for a while before he moved. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who still actually does comedy. I mean, Evan Shishela.
He's in Lansing now, right?
Lansing now. But they all moved, and then it was basically just me and Megan after a while.
Yeah.
And I always just avoided clubs because I always, like, had this idea. I was like, I have to be good enough to even, like, do the open mics. Like, I was like, I need to be great. Yeah. And say, well, it's dumb now because now that I'm doing them regularly, I'm like, oh, there's people going up for their first time at these.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I just put it on a pedestal so high. It was like kind of intimidating and scared. Yeah. And I still see people doing that now. Like, it's like, I'm like, oh, you're the same thing. Like, you wonder, like, why you go on all these shows. Have you ever like tried going out to the club? And it's like, they don't. And it's like, oh, I remember that. Like, you're like, you have this idea. You're putting this club as like super scary thing. And then you like start doing it. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. And then look at the people around you. Yeah. I mean, are you at Tune Up Tuesday either working or you're at the mic all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're working it or drop spot or
that's
on
that mic is interesting because it's one of the few mics where you go to and you will see comics only from Detroit, like doing that mic, which I love because when you go to that mic, now the crowd is like,
you could be 70% black, 30%. Yeah. It's interesting. You get to see like different talent, and you always, every time at that mic, dude, every time there's always one guy where you're like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. Every time.
Dude, I had a, the last time I was at the show as a comedy, there's a guy, I don't even know who he is, but.
Mr. Silly guy?
Yes. The King of Silly. Yes.
King of Silly?
The King of Silly, who came out and like wrestled the stool for his first thing, like did like the comedy.
And then he Tim Rayburn was hosting.
Yeah, smacked Tim on the ass.
He smacked him on the, which you can't, what are you doing, man? That guy asked me to take a picture of him and his wife before, I didn't know he was a comic, and he was really nice. And then I saw him go up, and it just was, he tried to make a joke. Did you notice? I don't know. Were you doing that? Were you there when he was doing roll call? Kyle's doing roll call.
No, I wasn't for roll
Kyle
call.
Kyle was like doing roll call where he's like getting all the comics together. And, and he made like a really bad joke to Kyle, and Kyle just kind of ignored him. And I was like, oh, it's going to be, you just knew from that moment. Like it's going to be one, like he, cause Kyle goes, do you have any more questions? And the guy goes, where do babies come from? Which is like, all right, dude. Yeah. I mean, what are we doing? And then he went up, and it didn't surprise me after that joke. I was like, what happened was, for people to listen to him, Tim Rayburn was hosting, and it was maybe the first time in years I've seen Tim Rayburn struggle, not to his own, you know, just one of those.
So Detroit's got me when you're doing it, it's especially for the open mic. I've never hosting the open mic really many people do well.
Showcase is the same way, although it's getting better.
Yeah.
But the showcase is the same way, which is funny because the weekends, if you're hosting, I think it's much easier to host a weekend there than it is the open mic.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I 100% believe that. It's kind of insane. But so Tim, I mean, I'm explaining this for the audience, but so Tim's hosting, he introduced him, King of Silly was his name?
The King of Silly, I think is, and I don't remember his actual name, but that was like his like intro thing. He came, I was running DJ booth, and he came up to me and he's like, hey man, will you not play music for me on like the intro? I'm like,
oh wow.
And I was like,
you're like, that's the first time a black comic has ever asked me.
I know, exactly. Normally they want me like some obscure, they want to request it.
They want to do the cut. They want to do like the thing, the sign to cut the music.
They
want to
say
funny.
DJ hit that shit.
It's such a different thing. It's wow. What a cultural, it's so funny. Go ahead.
But when he told me, I was like, I don't know. I think that might like, I'm not the fucking manager. And I'm like, always play music. And I'm like, dude, I don't run shit. Like, I'm not going to make this decision to like bring you up dry, because then they might think it's like the club making an error. I'm like, nah, I'm not. And he's like, please. He's like, will you just cut it short for me?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. And then as soon as he came up, I was like, that's I was like wondering why. Yeah. That's what
he wanted to. So did he plant? So what happens is he goes up. Tim introduced him as the King of Silly, which is already like, you know, how many times have you heard a stage name and be like, this guy's going to fucking kill it? You know what I mean? Like, it's rare that you see it.
Yeah.
So he goes up and he's like being all goofy and shaking Tim's hand. And he starts patting Tim's ass as Tim's leaving the stage. Like, he's just, and like, first of all, like, just don't do that. You don't know the guy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even do it to a friend of mine. You know what I mean? Let alone just a stranger.
No.
And the only reason why you get away with it is because it's two dudes.
Yeah.
And Tim's got a personality where he'll let things go, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't. Tim's not the kind of guy where you're like, he's like, we're meeting in the parking lot after that. Yeah, like, Tim is very much, he goes, I just won't make eye contact with you the rest of the night.
1,000%. Then this guy goes up and he had a couple, he didn't completely bomb. He had a couple moments where he did okay, but then he grabbed the stool and wore it as a hat or something. He was doing a lot of weird shit.
I didn't see most of his, because I was up next. So I ended up like,
you did going, the right thing. You're like, I'm going to leave this King of Silly's on stage. Yeah.
I had to go. Well, I was up next, so I just went around back, and I think he was only doing like maybe 3 or 5 minutes. So it's like I didn't have much time, so I just went out back. But I did see the beginning of it, and like as soon as he did like the prank fall over the stool, I'm like, this could be a tough one to follow.
That's what it was. Yeah. And then Tim made me laugh, and he didn't even get a big laugh, but it made me. It was so funny. He comes out afterwards. He goes, "How do I follow the King of Silly?" The next person he introduced said that. Yeah.
Was that you?
Yeah,
I said, very funny. How do I find the follow? I think I call myself. I was like, I'm not even a baron of funny.
It's very funny. It's a great line. Did I get a pop? All right.
Not the baron of funny. The baron of funny. And then I kind of riffed off of how the people weren't nerdy enough to understand that Renaissance joke.
Yes.
Because I got like a couple of laughs. I was like, that might be too deep cut. I don't even know if people know what barons are in Detroit. You know?
So that mic was, when did they start doing the free thing? Because that was a really great move.
So the free thing is, I mean, it had to been back in like, I want to say March or April.
It's been that long?
Yeah, it was shortly after I moved down
here. For people that don't know, they would charge to get in the mic, but parking is so bad there that you wouldn't get a lot of people showing up for the mic. And now you get a lot of people showing up because they're willing to pay for the parking if the mic's free.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think it was because it's in the heart of Detroit. I mean, it's like right across from Comerica Park where the Tigers play. So depending on what's happening that night, like we've had open mic nights where like the parking structure right next to us is like up to $50.
It's insane. Yeah. Bro.
But it's also like once you know Detroit, I don't ever pay for parking. Down there. Like you just start like you like, oh, I can walk 5 minutes and find free parking. But it's like I get it if you don't know the area, you're just going to punch it into your GPS and you're just going to hit whatever, like whatever's the closest.
You have to get down there early for whatever you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's rough, especially like, I mean, we've had shows when it's like, we're there and like when Taylor Swift was in town, it was like, I think it was like $80 for like parking in most places.
That's
Yeah.
I just don't understand why it's so much to leave your car somewhere. And the reason why is because you have to leave your car somewhere. It's the only reason why.
It's a supply and demand thing. They're like, people like this concert so much that we can charge this amount.
And people will pay, and that's why they do it.
My niece. It's
fucking crazy. $20 is too much, dude. $80?
Dude, my niece. That was, but you have to think how far away that is from Ford. And like, a lot of that was reserved out. So my sister.
I'm irritated again, Drew.
My sister and niece, they went to the Taylor Swift concert, and my sister is looking for parking. Like, she was like online looking for parking. She ended up paying like, I think, $110 to park for the Taylor Swift concert to go down there with my niece.
The crazy thing is,
which is like, that's like, I mean, the concerts I go to, that's like three tickets to the concert
I go to. I know. But it's, that's why some people just don't leave their houses.
Yeah.
Because of all of that, you have to do so much to do one thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
You have to find parking. If you want to try to find dinner beforehand, everything's slammed down there.
Like if I live, that is the beauty of living somewhere like in New York, like with a subway system or Chicago, is you just go fuck the car.
Yeah.
I don't have to.
I kind of dream of that day. I kind of hate having a car because I was a FedEx driver for like 5 years. So I was driving all day every day. And that was also this back when I was living in Saginaw. So then after that, then I would drive, you know, 3-hour, 5-hour round trips to do stand up afterwards because I didn't live in a stand up city. So it was like, I was like, for like 5 years of my life, I'm like, I think I drive more than anyone I know because I drive all day at work and then I'd get out of work and drive another 3 or 5 hours every day. So I'm like, I'm at the point where like people are like, drivers are asking, like, I hate driving now. I'm over driving. Like,
yeah.
At this point, it's no longer relaxing. I'm like, I could never drive again. I'd be fine. Like a big city where it's just, I got to walk, like a very walkable neighborhood and then like subways when I need
it. In the winter. And that's the, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a good point.
It's just, like the driving thing with comedy now for me is I just do the thing where if I want to, I'll still go a long way for an open mic every once in a while. Like I'll do Max, Carl Sobel's room in Grand Rapids is
that
really fun.
I haven't been out there in a long time just because I just spoiled. Like, I mean, I spent so much time driving when I lived in Saginaw.
I just grab a friend.
It makes it a little bit more palpable.
Yeah.
Because like, there's only so much you can like just listen to music or podcasts before you feel like you're going insane.
Yeah.
Because like someone says, like, how big of a loser are you if you listen to, like, podcasts for 8 hours a day? Or, like,
I do in my day job, too.
I know. That's what I do. And it made me think, I was like, it is weird. Because then you end up, like, creating these relationships with people that you never met. And you're like, I don't know if this is healthy. Like, you're right when you're like, because you're talking about them, like, how you would talk about your friends now.
Yeah.
Like, you talk about a podcast, how you'll, like, go to your end, and then he said this, and you're like, oh, this is what we used to do with our friend. Like, we used to like talk about our friend. Yeah. Like, my friend said this while I was hanging out. I'm like, now these are my friends.
Yeah.
And like, when I worked at, I was like, since I was just driving by myself, my coworkers were the podcast guys I listened to.
That's really funny.
So I'd get out of work. I'm like, you'll never guess what this person said today. Like, and I'm just quoting whatever podcast I heard. And I was like, oh, I don't, it is a kind of a weird thing to do. And like,
it's weird doing a podcast and then, and I like this, so I'm not complaining, but it's weird doing a podcast and then receiving messages about that podcast episode, whether it be, it's usually good, but whether it be positive or negative, that's always a weird thing too. And
it is insane. I mean, I had like a short lived podcast for a while that like 12 people listened to. But the weirdest thing is I wouldn't get messages a lot over, but then one, I did a joke on one of them about how, and it's clearly a joke. I said that anyone who has a bumper sticker should be executed by the state.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, clearly not a real take.
And someone got mad about that?
Someone got very mad. And that was like the one where I'm like, I never am not that guy. Like, you can't say anything anymore. Everyone's getting offended. But then I realized I'm like, it kind of is like, it's like some things. Yeah. I mean, people are just going to find reasons to get mad. I had a friend message me. I mean, I don't know, friend as much as acquaintance that messaged me about it. And I'm like, I was in a car accident like 6 months ago and it ruined me, it destroyed my car and my bumper stickers. Those were like the story of my travels. And it's like, look, I think you need therapy. Like,
a bumper sticker is like, it's if you have a bumper sticker on your car, you also have a name for your car.
Yes. Oh, 100%. You know what I mean? Honestly, now that you think about it, any person I know that has a bumper sticker.
Because you want your car to have personality. That's why you wear,
Well, my whole thing is,
you can't put jeans on your car.
Bumper
sticker.
Bumper stickers to me was like, it is like such a, when I saw bumper stickers and all that naming stuff, it's like, I always, and I don't know, maybe this is a hot take, because I'm really pro or anti bumper stickers. Because I always thought, which is a weird stance
to say something else for a second. Like, this is going to go in a weird direction. Go ahead.
But it's like, I don't know. It's like you have such a weird sense of self that you like project your personality onto your possessions.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't want to see your beliefs, if I agree with them or not, while I'm driving. I don't know. It makes me mad. Anytime I see him, I'm just like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
It's I've said this before. It's like when someone has like just like a political thing in front of their house or on their car. And it's like, I'd like you to share that with me if we were at a bar together. You know what I mean? I don't need to know this about you right away. Let me get to know you first.
I don't need to know that as I'm just driving by your house. And now I know who you support publicly. I mean, I get it, but it's also like, I don't know if it really helps.
Yeah.
Like in the long run. I mean, maybe for like smaller elections, I could see how it helps because it gets like wherewithal. But like when it comes to like bigger political issues, I don't think anyone drives by and sees like a Trump 2024 sign. They're like, you know what? I think, it is his year.
I don't want to go on Facebook and I don't want to know about, my friends know, I don't need to tell you.
Pandemic.
Pam, my neighbor, who I mean?
Like, Pam's a bitch. when people get online, they just like end up being mad about like some person in their life. And you're like, I don't even know who this is. Yeah. I do kind of love that though.
Yeah.
In a very sadistic way. Like my favorite thing about social media is when people have like mental, like public mental breakdowns.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I know it's not unhealthy, but like I screenshot all of them. I send them to my brother.
Yeah, dude, I get it.
I make a whole day out of it. I'm like, this guy, there was.
The screenshot is fucking, what an amazing thing the phone can do, right? Just the screenshot, because the amount of times where I'll screenshot like a status someone posted or a text message and,
the status on Facebook, because like I'll screenshot because I'm like, oh, this is going to be taken down in an hour.
Yes.
Someone's going to come to their senses and realize I just publicly threw all
you
this information out.
You can't post stuff when you're mad. Yeah. You can't do it. You have to wait, like give it a day and then would you have posted that a day later? Probably not. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is like one of my favorites is
also like going back to the sign thing, the equivalent to me, if someone's like Trump 2024 and it would be like the same thing for me is if I just posted if I just put a picture on my lawn, like a sign that said my stepdad touched me, it would be the same. Like, you don't need to know that. It's almost the same thing.
Maybe
like,
we should hang a couple times before, let's get to know each other
by a couple, like a fucking
meet my
couple
sister
dozen.
Yeah. It's like more stuff you could do before that. I get it. It's sometimes people do like the anti like signs. You know what I'm talking about? Like, cause like I had a friend that had like during the whole last election, he had his sign was like, it was, I can't remember exactly how it goes. It was like, presidents are temporary, Wu-Tang is forever. And it's like, oh, that's fun.
That's funny.
That's a fun that's one. Funny.
But yeah, people, the screenshot thing, my favorite thing, I'm not going to say who this was. They might even listen. I don't know. Yeah. Very sweet person. Don't know the person well enough though. I was at the showcase this past weekend featuring for Jackie Cation. So I get this message on Facebook. And it's so funny. You ever have thoughts about someone and then a day or two later, someone confirms those thoughts by bringing that same person up and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Like I was just,
it's like when
about
you hear
this.
A word for the first time and then you hear it for 3 days in a row, you're like, whoa, you know what I mean?
It's one of those, I think that is one. It's like, you're like, you're just looking for the word.
Though. Yes. Yeah, like, that's true. That's true. That's true. But, so this comic that just moved here, messaged me and he's like, hey, I'm coming to the show tonight. I'm excited to see the show. If you guys need any guest sets filled, let me know. And I'm like, First of all, like, I don't know you well enough.
Yeah.
That's not even number one. Number one is I have no authority over the guest sets.
Yeah, well, especially to do with Arbor. That. Like, that's, they book it all through the club. Like, not even really the headliner does much of that.
People, like, a lot of new comics listen to this. People need to know this. There's the three ways you're going to get a guest set. Number one, if you do the open mic enough and you do well enough the open mic that the club trusts you. Okay. Yeah. Number two, if you work the club already.
Yeah.
And number three, if the headliner brought you, if the headliner knows who you are, that's it. That's the only.
Yeah. If you can get a green light from the headliner or something.
Yes. That's it. Like, don't ask me who doesn't never, I've never seen you before. So I would only vouch for someone I know, but also again, I can't control that. Why would I would never go up to Elise and be like, this person should do a guest set. That's not, I'm not headlining the club.
I think people just have no idea once you like, in certain parts of it. Cause like, I'll have people that hit me up like, can I get free tickets? You're like, dude, I shouldn't even be here right now. Like I can't get you free tickets. I'm surprised I'm here. Yeah,
like, I get that clubs are ran differently and stuff, but like you just have to know, man. You have to, but people are some people are like hustlers and they're go-getters. So they'll do anything to, they'll show up to a show to see if they can get on, you know?
I like that. I do like that. I think I think that's a good quality.
Depending on the show.
Yeah, I guess
if you show
true.
Up to a pro show, you've never worked a club before. You're like, can I do a guest set? That's kind of a weird move.
You should, I agree. I mean, like, if you just show up and then they're like, hey, would you like to? Like being there. Because I think that's one thing I learned about Detroit. Sometimes it's just about being there.
For sure.
Like, the last.
Just showing your face.
Well, I just did a weekend at Detroit House of Comedy and I wasn't on the books. I was just there. And then
someone got sick or something?
No, the headliner was supposed to bring a feature and he just didn't. So the host got bumped up to feature and then I was just there and they're like, hey, we need a host.
Hell yeah.
And then it was like maybe 7 minutes before showtime and then I ended up just hosting the whole
weekend. How was it, Brett?
It was good. That's awesome. I don't like hosting. Like, I mean, it's necessary.
You're a little darker too.
I mean, like, I'm fine with hosting, but it's not what I like to do.
I don't think it's what anyone likes to do. I just, before you came here, I filled out the Google sheet for the open mic next week. And they always have that question, like, do you want to host? And I go, nope.
No, every time.
Because here's the thing, and there's nothing against that. I think, I've always said, I think you should host every once in a while, even if you've been doing it for a long time, just to kind of keep that muscle going.
Yeah.
But like, here's the thing. I think if you've been doing it for a long time and you say I'll host, Kyle's going to pick it a host. So I just stay away from it. Like if someone that wants hosting experience, you should definitely do that. But
yeah, I mean, it's good to get the experience, but I'm like, I hate hosting. I mean, I hosted an open mic.
It's a job. It's the job of the three. It's the one that feels like a job the most.
It also is when I feel the most like unauthentic. Cause like, I mean, I don't know. I turn on like game show host vibes. I'm like, hey, how's everyone doing tonight? Like, hey, we're over here. And it's like, that's not who I am at all.
Well,
like,
here's the thing. I listened to a podcast recently and local podcast. And one of the comics was talking about how like she got advice from another comic. And this comic was like, you know, she was hosting the weekend. The comic that I love this comic, was like, as the host, you don't even make a set list. Go in there, ask, like, go up there and ask for the birthdays and all that stuff. And I was like, that's not, like, I disagreed with what the advice was, because this comic is a black comic and they do a lot of black rooms. So I'm like, this is like a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, as the host,
you don't want to do all crowd work.
As a host, you should do no crowd work.
Yeah.
I think, unless it's a black room. Because that's what they like, right?
Yeah. Well, otherwise, you normally, it's either you have to riff or like, I mean, at least for my black rooms, the only time I've ever done well is never material. It's either I do crowd work or I riff.
Yeah.
And then they like, but I think they're looking for more authenticity. Like they want you to be in the moment.
They
in
are.
The black rooms where it's like, white rooms are more like into the idea that this is like a stage performance a lot of the time. So it's like that you do material and jokes are like, oh yeah, we're here to see the jokes, where it's like, I think black rooms more, they just want like to see an authentic, real person.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I think is, I mean, as much as I think that's where comedy is eventually going to go. It's going to be just all personality because of AI.
Well, I mean, even if you write a set list, it's still personality to an extent.
To an extent. But I mean, like, I think no one's going to care about jokes in the future.
I disagree with that.
Because my whole thing is like, AI is going to eventually be able to write jokes. And then the only thing that's going to differentiate people from AI.
Are people going to really like that, though? Are people going to like AI writing jokes?
I don't know.
This is, I think, further away than we imagined.
Yeah.
This
is not, no.
Everyone's talking about
it. I'm not saying like next 5 years, but I think eventually.
Dead.
Yeah.
I'll be dead.
I'll be dead. I'll die on the road like from an overdose in a motel somewhere by this time. But because I don't remember what comic said this, but he said like, doing black rooms will like, if especially as a white comic, it's going to kick that like bullshit up. So what's next? Like it'll kick that shit out of you.
Well, my favorite thing is
the other day, because like they'll just be like, what the fuck are you?
You're right. You know what I mean? Well, it'll, yeah. Well, both rooms, well, you're right. But what I love is I remember I came up with Jeff Horst, and Jeff started in black rooms and he would come to, and what I loved about seeing him, and this is not a knock, is like he would come to do the white rooms, just regular rooms, and he'd be like, set list, bop, 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 set list, bop, bop. And then I'd see him do a black room, and it would be a lot of like, these are the jokes I'm going to do because they pertain to this crowd more, you know? And hey, do what you got to do. He's killing them both rooms. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm like, nah, these are the jokes I want to do. And I'm going to do these jokes over here. I'm going to do these jokes over here. I don't want to change my act
around.
I just don't want to do that. So,
well, I mean, there's also part of that, like when you don't want to do and what you do want to do.
Yeah.
Cause
yeah.
I mean, like sometimes you like, I mean, sometimes you just like when you see like a certain crowd and like, at least for me, I'm like, oh, they're not going to like what I do. Like, mm-hmm. I can already tell. I'm like, I'm not going to connect with this audience. And I'm like,
but that's not necessarily a you thing.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem. What if sometimes forcing that connection, that's where you become hack. Now you're doing something you don't want to do just for them to laugh.
It's not always, I mean, like it can be hack, but sometimes it depends on the mentality. Like that's like fucking the difference between like a comic and an entertainer. That's why like Cedric is called Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah, no one's going, that's Cedric. Yeah, you're right.
Because Cedric's whole thing was just like, I think like the first, like the stories about him is like the first time he headlined, he didn't. Someone just asked if he could do 45 minutes and he had like maybe 15 and he just filled out the half hour of just being crazy wild. And I think Cedric's great, but it's also, it is a different style.
It is.
100%. It
is. But you're right. There's entertainers. There's all kinds of, we call ourselves comedians, but there's different types of comedians.
Yeah. There's a bunch of subgenres.
There is. But
well, that's why I think the worst thing about comedy is it's like the worst marketed thing of all time.
Yeah.
Because like, if you go to see a band, you're going to be like, what band am I going to go see? This is a death metal group. But comedy is just always labeled as comedy.
Sure.
So it's
sure.
like, but you wouldn't never do that music. Let's say you're going to see a dark comic and then you show up and you're like, I can't believe I don't like this.
Yeah,
but it's like,
there's different types of music and different types of comedy. Absolutely.
But people will go to see comedy without any idea of like they'll go to a club to see a headliner without any idea of who it is or like what's like, even read the bio of what style they are. It's like, you wouldn't go to a music show. It'd be like insane if you went to like a nightclub and you're like, they play dance music here. Yeah. I hate dance.
You're just
music.
Like, I don't like this song. Yeah. You're just yelling that. Yeah. But anyways, this comic gave this host advice of like, what do we're done with the birthday announcements. This is not the 90s anymore. Yeah. You know, like just go up, have a sit. Like when I, that's the thing. When I hosted and I had jokes, headliners would tell me all the time, I love the fact that you just do jokes. Because headliners don't want, for the most part, unless it's a black room, I guess, they don't want the host talking to the audience. Because the feature might do that, or the headliner's probably going
to
do that.
I try not to do any crowd work unless I get heckled. I mean, of course, like if I get heckled, I'm going to do like a little bit back and say, just completely ignoring. But I try not to do crowd work. I've been trying to like, even if like headliner's dirty, I try to like do the cleanest version of my set. Yeah. I'm a dirtier, darker comic, but I still do like the cleanest, try to clean it up.
Sure.
And like the guy I just worked with, Quinn Dale, he was really cool. Is I was telling him that afterward, he goes, oh, that means like you're not selfish. Like that's what he said. He's like, that's good to see. He's like, oh, you're not like, because a lot of comics will just go up and be like, how do I just make my set the funniest? Which I think if you're featuring or headliner, but like when you're hosting, like that's not your job as the host.
Yeah, you want to be funny, but that's like the last thing on the list.
You're just there to warm up the audience.
Agreed. Well, hit my, because I've had 1,000% agreed. Yeah. You're there to warm up the audience. This comic also said that, because she was featuring that weekend, but I'm the one that was giving advice to the MC. She said, I'm just there to warm up the headline. I'm like, no. These are like, this is like just different mentality. Like, I don't agree with that at all. You're there to be funny.
Yeah, you're supposed
to. The host is to warm up the entire show. You are there to be funny.
You have to be funny. You have to be consistent. Yes. You can't dive and destroy the show.
It's just a different, it's just the black room mentality. It's a different type of thing, you know?
Cause like, I think I had a headliner once tell me when I was hosting, one of the first weekends I ever hosted. And the headliner told me, he's like, your job is technically, you should be the worst comic on the line.
Yes.
And he goes, and if you're not, you kind of messed up your job.
That's really funny. Yeah. Especially in America.
That's back to why, I hate hosting. Cause I mean, I always want to just try to be the funniest person on the line. Yeah. I mean, as any comic, I think you are, but then I just understand, I guess how a show's supposed to run. So now when I host, I'm like, I'm not doing what I would exactly do if I was doing 10 minutes in the middle of a show or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Or I'm doing a showcase. Well, I'm hosting. I'm doing a different set.
this is what's weird about you is you were in Saginaw for a long time. Didn't you? You took a break, right? Because I did not see you for a while.
No, I did. I quit for like two. I mean, I quit like for two. I came back. I quit when I was 21, like right after I turned 21. Yeah. I quit for a while because I was living with my parents. I was 21. I was making some money off of like running an open mic and doing shows.
Yeah.
I was like dirt poor. I had like all my jeans were fucking.
How many times you get up in Saginaw? Like there's a lot over there.
Well, yeah. Well, it was just like as hand down my fucking all my shoes had holes. Like I was just like really, really, really poor.
Right.
And I was living at I lived in a broken bed.
Like, yeah.
My buddy came over and sat on my bed, like jumped onto my bed and snapped it. And
I didn't fix it.
It was just on an angle. I lived like that for so long. I think I was just like, and I had a girlfriend that's
on an angle.
Yeah, I used to. So it was the bed frame broken. It was at like a nearly like a 45 degree.
You're like
angle.
Sleeping on a slope, basically.
Yeah. Well, I put the pillow in the pocket corner.
Oh my and God. And then
I would just sleep like that.
Jesus. You weren't working or anything?
I was just basically doing stand up at the time. Okay. I would make money. I ran a weekly open mic.
And sleeping horribly.
Yeah, I was sleeping horribly. I was like running a weekly open mic, a monthly showcase, and I was getting some paid spots around the state. And it was enough to live at my parents' where I could cover my car insurance, my gas, and paying for weed.
Wow.
And okay. I was like, that's it. I'm like, that's all I needed at that time. You know, I'm 20. So it's like,
what did your parents think?
They didn't like it.
Yeah, of course.
They weren't a fan.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, they didn't dislike me doing stand-up. I think they just were like, you should probably have a backup plan. And I was like, nah, this is the only plan. And then
Saginaw, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like near like the scene.
Yeah, you know? not like outside of like 10 minutes outside of Detroit or a big city. I'm in the middle of nowhere, essentially.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just was like 20. I just turned 21. I had a girlfriend.
What year
at
is this?
So I turned 21. That'd be 2016.
Okay.
And I just wanted to, like, I was like, I need to get the fuck out of my parents' house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was arguing with my parents a lot. And it's like, it's a weird thing when you're 21 to be like, you're an adult and does have arguments, but I'll mow the lawn later. Like,
That's so funny. That's really funny.
It's like, this isn't how things are supposed to be. So I got like really into like, I'm going to be an adult and I'm going to go make money kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like not have to make a
bunch
of money.
You grew up a little bit.
Yeah. And then I did that and ended up going through a breakup. And I was just like, and honestly, I think a big part of the breakup is I went in this big depression of just like, what do I want to do? With my life? I was like, I had this job that was now, I was working at FedEx as a driver, paid well. You know, I was making good money, especially for someone who didn't go to college and really just learned like how to drive a bigger truck.
Yeah.
So it's like I was making good money, but it was also like completely unfulfilled and creatively.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. It put me in this like really sad depression.
Sure.
And then like it probably led to a breakup. And afterwards, I'm like, I just think I just really want to do stand up again. Like I realized I was happier living like the most poor I could ever be in my parents' house. Like with shitty clothes and shitty shoes, I was happier than
shitty bed. Keep
going. Shitty bed. Happier than I was when I had my own place and had expendable income, but I wasn't doing that. Like it was just
wow.
And then so I was like, oh, I'm gonna do stand up again.
Yeah.
And then I went back and I was addicted again. I mean, some part of me wants to go, I wish I never quit. But it also is like since I lived that life, I know it's not for me.
I will say, you know, I saw you back in the day a few times, a little bit, like every now and then. And you were always funny, dude. You always could write like dark, you had real dark shit, but it was good. Oh, so I'm glad that you came back because Brett would talk about you sometimes, Brett Hayden. And
we're good, but Brett started like a few months before me because like my class is like, I started with like Kyle was just starting out when I started. Brett was just roughly started. I think he may have started like 6 months before me.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they were like guys that were my age in the scene because everyone else was older. And it was a lot. Because I was like, I started doing Evan Shishel. I started with. He's the reason I started doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all like everyone else was older. So it was like whenever like you're like this young kid at a bar, you just see someone your age you're like, oh, God, aren't adults scary?
Yeah. That's very funny. So so now you're living, where are you living at now?
Now I live in Westland. I live in my sister's basement.
It's better than your parents, right?
I guess. I mean, it's.
How's the bed situation?
Well, it's actually technically a horizontal move because I live in a basement now.
Oh, man.
Bed's not broken, though.
Yeah, so
I like it. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
Because I'm just doing more of what I like in an area.
Yeah, I see you. I see you way more, dude.
Yeah.
One would argue too much.
And also, fucking, it was like, I mean, like night and day of like, the idea of what you get when you're not living, like where comedy's happening, you just have to drive for it all the time. Versus like what, I mean, like within like just a couple months of moving down here, the amount of like starting to work clubs. A few years ago, I took shrooms on a camping trip.
Sure you did.
And like, well, no, it's like, I think I don't do psychedelics because everyone's like, oh, you have this epiphany.
You do have like a psychedelic phase though.
I know I do. Everyone thinks I do, but like, I'm not a big fan.
I also wore a Black Sabbath t-shirt, so it doesn't help either.
If they messed me up, like I did the last one, I mean, I'll do like maybe a microdose here or there, but like the last time I like really did them, I took shrooms on this camping trip and like, everyone's like, you have this epiphany, right? That's like the whole thing when you take shrooms, like, you're going to realize something. I have the worst epiphanies. Like I'll have an epiphany and then I later find out it's like, oh, that's actually a bad epiphany. Mm. And mine was that even things that are not funny are now funny when you say it in a funny voice.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, it fucked me up for 3 months doing stand up. Yeah. For 3 months.
You were doing the funny voice?
I couldn't even help. It was like, I would just slip into it. And I was like, what? I'm doing my act in a southern like accent.
Oh my God.
And I couldn't control it. Like I was actively trying not to. But for 3 months, I would just slip into this southern accent. I was like, where the fuck? Like I had to work it out of my system. And it was like bad. I'm like,
Would comics say something to you? Like, what was that?
Some people would, but they'd make fun. No one ever said it to me personally. Like I had friends make fun of it on stage. Like, you know what I mean? Which I actually prefer almost. Yeah. But like, I just was upset with myself. Cause I would notice myself slip into it, but it was just like, it was like out of my control. And I was like, I can't do psychedelics. Like it literally is fucking up my whole brain. Like at least maybe for some people. I had an epiphany once that like I took shrooms once and I'm like, I'm technically God and I can control my own world. And I was like, next day I'm like, that's a terrible thought, man. That's grandeur delusions.
Wow. It's weird how we get into bad habits on stage. And then sometimes it takes you a while to slip out of it.
It was 3 months. I was doing like a southern accent on stage and I don't know why.
So fucking funny. It's weird how like, and the longer you do it, like the more like, sometimes I'm a hand in my pocket guy. But then I look like I have no energy. So I move that. You ever watch Nate Bargatze? Nate Bargatze puts, like he's an Asian man. He puts one arm behind his back.
I did that for a long time. Yeah. I went through a phase where I'd do the one hand behind the back. And I think it was just more because I didn't know what to do with the hand.
By the way, why do Asians do that? What's with Asians walking around with both hands behind their back?
I think it's like a balance thing. Is
it like a peaceful thing? What is that?
It's a balance thing?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Oh, that's Johnny Mockney.
It has to be. I don't know. It looks cool.
It looks really. It looks like they're fucking peaceful and like they can answer any question.
Also, like you're about to fight, dude. It's like you're hiding a karate chop behind your back. You know, like you're right.
Very interesting.
Come right in through with it.
But now I've been doing this thing when I do a longer set sometimes where I'll like stretch. I'll do like a leg stretch on stage and I'll like go forward and I'll go like, so just some sort of movement because I'm not like pacing back and forth.
Yeah. I feel like I have no consistency sometimes because sometimes I'm like, I'm the hand behind my back guy. Yeah. Or sometimes I'm very much using my hands like this. Yes. And then sometimes I'm pacing around and it's like really just whatever I feel at.
But I feel like I can't just stand there and do, I mean, there's something about just standing there doing jokes and you murdering without even moving.
Oh,
there
is a little bit of that. Plant your feet. Nice. It is great. I've had sets where it's like you just bam, bam.
Yep.
But sometimes I can't do that.
Like I sometimes do that.
It
sometimes
feels weird doing it.
Sometimes I do it. It's not deliberate, but sometimes I do that. And other times I'll pace a little bit or just some sort of movement because I feel like they want that from you. They also want you to have a little, they want you to be a little alive. Like they want you to see that you're enjoying yourself. And sometimes if you're just standing there and just delivering jokes, it doesn't really seem like you're enjoying yourself.
I mean, I guess it also depends on like your voice. I mean, I think smiling a lot on stage, even if it's on purpose or not, is like it just shows people like, oh, they're having fun. You know,
someone said that. I think last episode, someone said that, and I think that's part of the reason why the shows were so good this weekend at the showcase. Is I remembered that note every time. Just have fun.
Yeah.
Why? If you're not having fun, you should not be doing this.
Yeah, and I mean, like, because, like, I've had friends that are...
Because there are times where I haven't had fun on stage, where I'm just like, ugh. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, I mean,
even if it's all going okay, I'm like, ugh, you know?
You're like, you want... Well, I mean,
you're a video game guy.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate 3 just dropped on Xbox this week, so a lot of the time I'm doing stage work, I'm just like, kind of rather be playing Baldur's Gate 3 right now.
My buddy, David,
I'm thinking about Baldur's Gate 3 instead of...
He's a huge Baldur's Gate fan. I wish I could get into it. The world seems cool, but I'm not like a Dungeons and Dragons guy, and I'm not a turn-based guy.
I'm a turn-based guy, so I like it. It brings, I don't know, something about live. Like, I can play some of them, but there's so much open-world RPGs. I want to like them.
Yeah.
Every time they come out, like these big open world RPGs, and I'll even buy them and I start playing them and I put 2 hours in and I just realize there's way too much shit to do and way too much live like reaction of it. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to do this. And like, I just won't. I'm like, like, I remember Red Dead Redemption 2 came out. I was like excited.
Yeah.
I played like the opening part. And then when it finally really opened up, I was like,
opening was great.
It is.
8 people just stopped listening to this podcast, by the way, but go ahead.
As soon as it opened up, I was like, oh, this, it was intimidating. I'm like, I'm done. No, I don't want to do this.
We always close, especially if I have someone on for the first time, worst bomb. You got a memorable bomb?
That's it's easy. It's my first one. It's the first show I ever did. That's like easily the worst bomb. I was doing a show. You remember Mike Ball? I was doing, so.
Do you remember the Twitter account that Ben Langworthy made?
Mike Mall.
Ben Langworthy episode.
Everyone knew it was him, but he wouldn't admit it.
Ben Langworthy was on this podcast very early, and he just I don't know where that guy went, man. He just disappeared again.
I think he's better off.
Yeah, he was so funny.
He's one of the funniest guys I've ever met in my entire life. I love that guy so much. He was the meanest sometimes, but it was also what I like. I liked that old school, like fucking, I guess, like
just kind late of 90s, man.
Early 2000s, like those guys that would just like roast each other outside the stand or like outside of the cellar kind of vibe. And he had that, but it was like, I always felt it was like a form of endearment. So I never took anything he said either. Personal. And it would also make me laugh hysterically.
He was like a tough follow a couple years in when he was doing 2 years in. I was like, this guy's a tough follow already and he's 2 years in.
Great joke writer, hilarious dude on and off stage.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
I miss that guy. Come back, Ben. You were on episode 19 or whatever it was. Jesus fucking, wow. But okay, go ahead.
Okay, so worst, but I'm like, so I started out because me and Evan Shishella, he's a comic in Lansing. Mm-hmm. Me and him became really good. We'd known each other. We were friends for a while, but we didn't become really good friends until our junior year of high school. We went to high school together and we both skipped anatomy and instead took physics.
Okay.
So we skipped anatomy, did physics, and it was all seniors. So we didn't know anyone. We ended up sitting in that room. And during that, we kind of found out that we both have this huge love of stand-up. Like we could talk about stand-up. He watched stand-up specials. I did.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And then during our senior year, one day he kind of turns to me. He's just like, hey, I'm going to go do stand-up. And it like blew my mind. I'm like, what are you going to do? He's like, yeah, I signed up to go do stand-up at Joey's Comedy Club. Okay. Like the open mic.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I'm going to go. I got to see this, right? And I drove out there with him. He went up. He did well. I mean, like he didn't crush, but he did well. And he was doing better than some people who like at that time had been doing it a while.
Sure, sure.
Like he had a really good first set. I mean, like, at least for the experience level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He didn't bomb. Yeah. He was getting laughs.
If you get laughs your first time, it's a fucking win.
Yeah. And I don't think he didn't have at least a joke that at least got like a laugh.
Yeah.
Like maybe even one person in the audience, but still, there wasn't a bomb.
Right.
You know? Might have been a great set, but it wasn't a bomb. And I saw that and I looked at Evan and I was like, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And I had that worst person of all time. Yeah, I know, I have the worst. I'm the Lex Luthor or fucking Joker. Like, I'm like, it's the worst. Like everyone hates that guy, but that's how I started doing stand-up. Yeah. I was like, he can do it, I can do it. And then he was doing a show for Mike Ball, and we had signed up to do the open mic at Laugh Tracks the next night. So that's supposed to be my first set, but I just went out to support him. And Mike Ball found out that I was going to start doing stand-up, and he walks up to me and goes, hey, I heard you're about to do stand-up. Would you like to do some time tonight? And there's like something I'd like just listen enough about comedy. I'm like, I think time's important. You're never supposed to say no to time kind of thing.
Yes.
So I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And I went up on stage. I had never done stand-up, so he told me these three things. Or not three things, but he told me this. He goes, you're going to go up there. You're going to have, I think, I can't remember if it was 3 or 5 minutes. It was probably 3, maybe 5. But he goes, you're going to see a light. That means just wrap it up.
Yeah.
When I shine a light at you. He goes, but if you ever want to get off stage early or at the time, he goes, just go, I'm Drew Campbell. That's been my time.
Yes. Yes.
And that was the only, and I went up there and it was a packed house and I proceeded to bomb so horribly. I mean, packed house. Like I'm talking like, probably like 80 people all packed into this small bar and no one's laughing, like zero laughs. I'm sweating. As soon as I went up on stage too, the mic cut out.
The worst.
Which also like, but also like now I know I'm like, I could just yell or I can make a joke about it. When I'm starting, I don't know what to do. So I'm just fucking with the mic until it connects back on and works. And then I start to go into my act. I'm just bombing. And I remember there's these two girls and like close to the front row, maybe the second row.
Were they attractive?
Yeah. Oh, very.
At least for
especially for an 18-year-old, you know?
Oh, Jesus.
All and right. One of them turns to their friend and whispers to them, but it's so dead silent because I'm getting zero laughter. I can hear the whisper. And she whispers, she goes, this guy's not funny at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was one of those things where people weren't even heckling me. People just felt bad for
sure,
me.
Sure.
And I, as soon as I heard that, I was like, my name's Drew Campbell. I spent my time.
Well, so how long were you on stage for?
Like, I don't even know. It's probably maybe like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I bombed so hard. And I signed up to do, I was still like doing the laugh tracks. I remember I'm like, if it's like that painful, this next show, I'm like, I don't think I'll do this again. It was like, it like really fucking hurt me. And the next day I threw away all the material and I had an ISS, an in-school suspension. In high school.
I remember those. Yeah.
And I was, a couple I wrote a whole new set list during that. Yeah. In ISS. And then we went out there and I got a couple of laughs and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna keep doing this. But that was the worst bomb. It was like, it was the most hurtful bomb I've ever had. The other one, none of them's recent. The worst ones are always like the newer ones.
Yeah.
The other one was, I started doing it for a few months.
I think the better joke writer you are, the less you bomb. Like bomb. You know what I mean? Like bomb. But also, or you're getting nothing.
But also like sometimes now when like I bomb, it's like I don't really care because like it's like I'm like, oh, I'm performing at the shit show at like fucking 12:30 at night. Like I'm like, yeah. Like whatever. Like I don't even feel like I can brush that off. I'm like, it's not that.
I did shit show last weekend and it's like, I remember I did the showcase this past weekend and I think it was like Friday or something. I had it was a great set, great show. And then someone was like, you want to hit a mic afterwards? And I was like, I'm not ruining this.
Yeah, exactly. I want to go home happy.
Yeah. I'm not going to ruin what, cause then that's what happens is you do, I think it was the Heidelberg on Thursday is what it was. And so we did the Thursday show, was great. And then someone was like, you want to go to the Heidelberg? And I was like, no, cause I just did well here.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go to the Heidelberg and just pretend that I, cause now it seems like, you know, I went from, hey, I kind of do this professionally to this is a hobby. Like, I don't want to be, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's different if you're like preparing for the show, but if you have a good show, you don't want to hit a mic the same night. I don't.
I mean, it depends. Sometimes I do.
If the show doesn't go great, then I kind of do.
I kind of do. But sometimes even if it does, sometimes I'm like, at least like, sometimes it's like, maybe I need to humble myself because you're like, you humble yourself out. You go, because like sometimes you have a great show and you're like, I'm really great at stand up. Yeah. And then if you hit an open mic, you go, oh no, I still have a ways to go.
Second bomb, sorry.
It's also really early. I was 19 at the time, been doing it for a little while. So I've had some good sets at this point, or at least good in my mind of what, you know,
good
compared
enough
to what I was doing. And I had, it was high school summer between high school and like the first year of college.
Wow. Okay.
And my friends came out to a show and they brought basically like my whole high school and like middle school crush.
No.
Yes.
No.
She came out and now I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, this is it, dude. I'm going to go up on stage.
What was the venue?
It was Hamilton Street Pub. It was a little fucking bar that we used to run shows.
Fucking bar shows. All right. Yeah.
And I was like, this is the time. Cause I did like good the last like 2-3 weeks in a row. I was going to this like open mic every, I think we ran it on Mondays. I can't even remember now because I think we changed the day. I was going out to it every week and I'm like, oh, she's going to see me. I'm like, this is the time. Finally. Yeah. Like I probably reached out and like basically put myself on the line like 3 different times with her over like sixth grade to senior year. She always rejected me, you know, like we stayed friends, but she was never into me like that. But I'm like, this is
how I get her.
This is how, like, this is the moment, you know, she's going to see me be a star, you know, kind
of
like,
I do well here. I kidnap her.
I bomb so fucking hard that it, I mean, to the point where not even my friends were laughing in the room, like dead silence bomb. And I had to walk back off stage. I only was doing like 5 minutes. I came back to the booth and I sat and she went, hey, that was really good. And dude, it might have been the worst feeling of my entire life.
Yeah, I would have sat next to her. I would have just took, oh my God, no way.
Yeah, I should have laughed.
Yeah.
But all my friends, I was like, but I said that. I remember her patting me on the back and going, yeah, you did good up there. And I was just like, it destroyed me.
Yeah.
And I was like, that. So it's like, now when I bomb, I'm like, oh, what? Strangers don't find me funny? I'm like,
I know. This girl I liked didn't find me funny.
Dude, I was in love with for like most of my adolescence saw me bomb and pitied me. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah. All right, buddy. This has been fun. I appreciate you making
it. Yeah, no, thanks for having me, man.